What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 28th. And yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Jose Quintana has had a lovely stretch to the beginning of the year. And what is the next of Quintana? Well, I don't know if it's going to be very good. He had 5 innings, 1 earned run, and 5 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks against the Cardinals. That's nice. I've seen every single one of these, and I know that Jose Quintana has these stretches every year where he has good command, and it's just enough as a proper Toby. It's like it is with Martin Perez, for example, or maybe Eduardo Rodriguez, or the low end, maybe Merrill Kelly, but you understand that there are these guys who throw enough strikes, and they nibble decently well that they can have these good runs. That does not mean that you should be going after them, though, and this is now against the Chicago Cubs. I don't want to do this. I think that the Cubs are too good of an offense. I don't think that Quintana is actually pitching at the highest level that we've seen of him in the past. I would be careful jumping into this Vargas role. If you want to do it, I get it. But I think in 12-teamers, you stay away. Joe Ryan. Oh my gosh. Finally. I mean, this is one of the things that is the toughest for me as an analyst is to say, look, I know this guy has a really good foundation. I know he is what he should be. He hasn't been this way throughout the year so far. And now, how long do you hold on expecting things to change? It is so difficult. I get the most hate mail about this kind of thing. And Joe Ryan, well, he went against the Angels, had a great game. 7 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 11 strikeouts. A Gallows pull at 26 whiffs, 38% CSW. How did he do it? Well, yes, the four-seamer was once again incredible. He was hitting as high as 95 in this one. He was returning 18 whiffs on the pitch over 57 thrown. Yes, but what has been the biggest criticism I've had of Joe Ryan? It's that he doesn't have a number two pitch that he can rely upon. And oh my gosh, this sweeper was absurd. On Baseball Savant, it said one of them had 30 inches of horizontal run. That is nuts, okay? We normally see like an average of 17, 18. We're like, oh, that's pretty good. 20, like, whoa. 30 just feels wrong. However, watching it, there were some that were just so good. And 18 inches of horizontal sweep on that pitch is crazy good. 35-inch difference between that and his sinker on average. This was a legit pitch. I mean, I remember seeing the first one, and I said, whoa, really loudly. And my fiance had no idea why I was doing that from the other room. And yeah, insane. I love it. It's not quite the answer for left-handers, but this is finally something else against righties, and that's so good. We should be very excited about Joe Ryan. Nick Lodolo against the Rockies in Coors. 7 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts, 15 whiffs. Oh, yes. The Rockies are still a bad offense in Coors, and actually PLV projections take that into consideration. And they've been ranking the Rockies offense there not too highly, and they kind of should have. We've seen a lot of success there. This was his changeup and curveball cooking. We had fastballs upstairs effectively. Lots of soft contact. Nothing was over an expected wOBA of 200. Sorry, an expected will bacon over 200 for Nick Lodolo in this, which is really good. So this has been great with Nick Lodolo, and we keep rolling with this. Tarik Skubal got the King Cole at 41% CSW, 11 strikeouts of his own against the Orioles. Remember those first two starts when everyone wanted to trade away Skubal? I mean, okay. Max Fried against the Jays got the win. 6 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 3 Ks. And I know that it's not like a top five starter, but keep in mind that Max Fried has now earned, what, 5 wins in 6 starts, has an ERA and whip that are absurd, and you're probably going to get like 160 to 170 strikeouts by the end of the year through this. Like, this is your back-end SP1 that you want him to be. I mean, you got him as like your SP2 or 3 in 12-teamers, except for me. I got him as my SP1 because I got him in the 8th round. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Max Fried is doing the thing, and it's actually sooner than I expected because generally he has, you know, 3 starts or so at the beginning of the year that were pretty bad. The first one wasn't good, and he didn't even survive through 5 because he had a stupid error. But after that, it's just been so glorious, and it's been great for Max Fried. Hunter Brown, guys, I know. I keep getting all these things that people being so upset at me about not ranking Hunter Brown higher. I'm going to do it today. He's going to be in the top 25. The biggest thing, though, is that no one predicted that he'd be throwing 97 on average entering this year. You know, I mean, that's a big difference for Hunter Brown, especially for someone who doesn't have that signature secondary pitch. And really, that four-seamer hasn't been the big whiff pitch from before. He was sat right under 97, but yeah, it was 97, still fine. He has a changeup that came through for 42% CSW. That's cool. Every single pitch, though, had an expected bacon over 300. Every single one for the balls I had in play. Not too many balls in play with 9 strikeouts, but 7 hits kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It kind of goes into the whole thing of Hunter Brown to me, but yeah, I get it. He's going deep into games, and he's getting wins, and he's throwing harder, and it's working, so I'm fine. I don't really think of him as a top 15 starter. Some people might. I don't. Osvaldo Beto against the White Sox, 5.1 innings of 1-run run, 5 hits, 2 walks, 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? A lot of guys had 2 walks and 1 strikeout, which is kind of interesting here. I don't want to go after Beto at all. Clark Schmidt against the Jays, 5 innings and 1-run run, 1 hit, but 4 walks and 6 Ks. It is kind of interesting to see Schmidt, and there's another arm that I'm forgetting about. Oh, yeah, Ben Kasparias, who are going cutter and slider a ton, or breaking ball a lot, and then saving their fastball. So, like, for Schmidt, it was sinkers. It was Kasparias. It was four-seamers, and they barely throw them. And it's kind of interesting, and I do think that you'll start to see batters move up in the box against these kind of guys because they'll say, fine, take that 90-mile-per-hour cutter and then turn it into 93, but then it moves less, right? It will have less an effect on me. Same with the secondaries. If I'm up higher in the boxes, you know, if I'm farther down, then you, of course, have more movement applied to it. He's up to 90 pitches, though, Clark Schmidt. That cutter and curve were kind of all over the place, but it worked out. Sweeper worked against right-handers. Fine. We're going to start this against the Rays, especially with that higher pitch count of 90. Jameson Taillon has been a Vargas rule, and I'm so happy for him. I mean, he's gone against the Dodgers. He's gone against the Padres. He's gone against the Diamondbacks. He's gone against the Phillies. And he's just done it. Like 7 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. He didn't get the win because he was opposite Nola, who had a very good game of his own. Changeup and curve was working to lefties. He had the cutter to righties, and that was really nice with the sweeper there, too. A lot of Koufax involved here. You know, good ball in play, luck. But it is a good defense. And there's a lot of what he's doing that works with good four-seamer placement as well. Taillon is nibbling and utilizing his pitches better. He's not just throwing strikes for the sake of strikes right now. I dig it. We keep going until the rule dictates, which is until it doesn't work anymore. He's out of rhythm. Aaron Nola against the Cubs, 7 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts, 16 whiffs, 30% CSW. Yes, this is a lot more of the Nola that you expected. And this was really interesting because he threw cutters, 36% cutters to right-handers. That's smart. Because the sinker and the four-seamer have been falling in velocity. We saw 89.8 on the sinker last start. Oh my gosh, no! You can't do that, Nola. Now, we saw 91 plus on both the sinker and the four-seamer, which is really just like a tick and change higher, but that will take that. And that cutter really being the main driver against right-handers was very interesting. 41% CSW overall, as he did throw some, of course, against the lefties as well. I love it. Curveball is still very good. I'm more interested in Nola now with that cutter than I was before because I've been saying the entire year, the overall command is actually pretty good for Aaron Nola. It's not like he's just throwing these into the zone as I've seen other guys do. It's not like Zach Gallen's who's trying to figure everything out every day. No, he does have good pitch separation. It's just the stuff feels like it's just a little bit worse. Having that cutter can be a big solution for him. I'm a fan of it. It could be a Dennis where it shows up for one start and then goes away with the Arizona Diamondbacks next. I'm going to go for it. We have Davis Martin getting opened for as the White Sox have run openers the entire weekend, and it's driving me up the wall because I have to do extra formatting inside of the SP roundups. And it's just, let's be honest, openers are not fun. They really, really aren't. It worked for Davis Martin, 6 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, and 5 strikeouts, but 5 whiffs, 23% CSW. And I'm happy the changeup worked against lefties, but like, this isn't it. I don't really want to go for this, especially with the White Sox involved. You have Brandon Faught against Atlanta doing good things still. He got a win, 6 innings of 2 runs. Now, 10 base runners, 9 hits and 1 walk, but 6 Ks. Yes, the whip hurts. And the thing is, though, that the changeup and the curve weren't as good as we have seen in previous outings. The sweepers were left up a bit more than we like. But yeah, Brandon Faught having that changeup and curve against lefties makes him a different guy. I've been saying it all year. I like Brandon Faught. I pretty much see him as a low-end Holly type that you're pretty much just not going to drop at this point because Faught is a different pitcher. He's more reliable and fewer home runs, essentially. So I dig it. Logan Evans made his debut and went against the Marlins in the T, which is just as nice of a debut as you can hope for. And yes, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 3 strikeouts. It's not the right Logan. It's Logan Evans, who's replacing Logan Gilbert. And I don't really see something that is very interesting. It's 93 mile per hour sinkers with good run, but they don't go inside and to right-handers. And you have changeups and curveballs and cutters to lefties that aren't really that electric. Like, it's possible that the command can be better in a game that isn't his debut, but I don't really think that Logan Evans is something massively interesting. We talked about him a ton in the preseason as those fringe guys. I did with Eno. I did it with, Eric Samulski. But yeah, I'm not really interested in this. Maybe for these kinds of streams in Safeco, T-Mobile Park, the T. It's fine. We're going to talk about other guys from yesterday, including more about Ben Kasparias, Jack Zippo, and Jordan Hickson, so many others. And we're going to talk about all of them after this break. Jordan Hicks, do we like this? Are we a fan? Well, it was 5 innings of 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. And I talked to the chat today. We voted. I did get a streaming victory, barely, in this one. If it was like one more base runner, I would have said no. But here's the thing. Hicks was down to 94 on the sinker, not 97, 98, 99. I know there's been a lot of ire about my enthusiasm for Hicks. And he threw strikes. Splitters and sweepers were for strikes, but then it's 94. He did ramp up as he went on. By the end, it was actually at 97 plus, and he had these hard fastballs early, but if you're sitting 97 and change, that means you're hitting 99. So something is weird here. Maybe he's pulling it back to try and get better command. He didn't have better command really on the sinker, just through strikes. I don't love it, but then again, he gets Rocky Road next, and you know what? I'm just going to say this is a start, and we have no idea what's going to be next. So hopefully it's better in that one, and we just forget about this one completely. 0 walks is a lovely thing as well, but, you know, it's strange. I don't want 0 walks if it means that you just go 5 innings and 84 pitches and you allow 7 hits, right? It's like, I need one, I can't have one and the other, you know, one step forward, one step back. So hopefully he can have 0 walks with sitting 96, 97 at the very least. You have Zach Littell having a great game against the Padres. It's a dusty donut as he had 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? But got the win. 5 innings of 2 earned runs, 5 hits, 1 walk. That's great. I'm happy that you were able to get this one. Now throw him back to the wire, please. Jack Zippo, right? Jack Leiter. 3.1 innings of 2 earned runs, 2 hits, 4 walks, and 3 Ks. 3 of those walks were in the first inning. And he looked much more like himself after it. He threw 76 pitches, and I think that's the important thing here. He hosts Seattle next. I think you go with that, and we just carry on from there. Tyler Glasnow left his game with a shoulder injury, and just a second straight start leaving with something. Ben Kasparias came in for 3.2 innings, and he threw shut up all with 5 strikeouts. And what he does, as I mentioned before, he throws cutters and sliders with this 96, 97 mile per hour fastball that kind of surprises at times. He got 2 whiffs on that, about, 7 thrown. I think it can work. I want him to be stretched out. I do have some worry being just so heavy in cutter slider, where I don't think they are the greatest ones, but I do like it. It's a good situation. Obviously, 5 strikeouts in 3 innings is good, but then again, it was the Pirates. It's a case where Ben Kasparias might not be stretched out enough. He might be replaced. And I just hate the fact that he's like 5.9 extension. Makes me just wonder, like, what is the real ceiling of Kasparias? I got really excited about him last year, but with the velocity and all, but the velocity isn't as, it's more empty velocity essentially than I would like it to be. Long story short though, if he does stretch out properly for the Dodgers, it might take 3 starts because he's only at 54 now. They haven't really pushed him a ton. But it might be worthwhile if he is actually pitching regularly. We do have Tony Gonsolin coming back this week, so it might be just in time with the Tyler Glasnow situation. That might be the Blake Snell replacement, though. Maybe Kasparias has fallen. We'll see. You have Tyler McGill against the Nationals. He's still cooking. Tyler McGill, 6.1 innings of 300 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 9 strikeouts. Really efficient here. Unfortunately, had that one, I believe it was 1 inning with Tyler McGill. There are some mistakes over the plate that really bother me still, and it wasn't like the greatest of the slider and the four-seamer. Lefties, it was really good, and the righties was okay. But he's in such a better place than he was before. And that's really the thing to take away from this, is that the four-seamer has got good stuff. It's why Eno was so into it. And it's just a question of, are you going to be a command guy or not? Because you've had this for a long time, but you just haven't executed. Poor execution, awesome stuff. You're executing better now. It's a better slider than he ever had, at least for his fit. So that's good. We like this. We keep rolling with it. Spencer Schwellenbach was looking amazing in the beginning of the year. 16 whiffs here, 32% CSW. 6 innings, 3 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. You were one base runner away from a very poor quality start. It's not quite aces going to ace level, right? And I want to give it to him, but I can't because he just haven't performed like an ace in the last 3 games. Few strikes in the slider is really interesting with a curveball and also poorly spotted fastballs and cutter. It's like, this is not the command artist pitcher with high swing strike rates on the slider and the curve that we normally see, that where you'd be able to pull back on the fastball. But the fastball is better. The cutter is kind of gone. It's all weird. Mr. Crescendo, you should be amazing. And it's like falling apart a little bit. I hope you can get it back. The moment that you get it back from here is when I'm going to be the most in on Spencer Schwellenbach, because when you see guys go through the first big wave of struggles and then they make the tweak and they get back into it and they showcase it for more than one start, that's when things become a plateau. So I hope we see that soon and get really excited about Spencer Schwellenbach. Brian Bayo had his second outing. This was 99 pitches. And we had a bit of a careful Icarus here as he allowed a 3-run shot in the sixth. So it was 6 innings, 3 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. He had a beautiful 5 innings and then just kind of went terribly. He didn't have a CSW over 25% on any of his pitches, which is not great. He did have good locations on that changeup down. Four seamers were at 44% strikes, and they were kind of scattered all over the place. There were hittable sliders. You know, he didn't face that many right-handers that would be exploited by his sinker, but Bayo is not really showing me that guy. You know, the one that I think is just, oh man, he's got all the things working, all the tools are just so good, and he just needs to execute a little bit better. I'm not seeing that from Bayo. It does feel like a Toby of good situations for wins or quality starts without terrible ratios, right? So if you're going for wins, quality starts kind of thing, this is your kind of guy. That's like a Toby, but I don't really see him as a 25% plus strikeout rate guy. Maybe it's 23%, and that'd be really cool. Jose Soriano against the Twins, 5 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. The sinker doesn't jam right-handers, and it's incredibly annoying. I just want it to work for Soriano because the stuff is obviously so good, but he just can't quite do it. I don't know. Also, the slider didn't show up against right-handers as well, which is also very frustrating. I don't know. I guess we're going with Jose Soriano against the Tigers. And the curve wasn't all reliable as it was in this one. We just keep going. Okay. Randy Vasquez, you don't want to touch. It was 4.2 innings of 2 walks and 1K and batter ratios. Just don't go with it. You have Chris Bassett against the Yankees. It was against the Yankees. And also the cutter and sinker really being the two pitches. It's actually kind of interesting with Bassett because I've normally seen more of an even spread across the kitchen sink, but really it's just been sinker and cutter and curve. And the best days are when the curve was working and the curve wasn't working here, so it was just sinker and cutter. He should be better against the Guardians. We actually did see the curve take a step back last start too, and hopefully that's not really a trend, but I'm going to say he's going to do all right. You have Chris Bubich having a bad outing against the Astros. Seeing the changeup go just 50% strikes against a right-handed heavy lineup is a little frustrating because I was optimistic that this right-handed heavy lineup would actually work in Bubich's favor of having that changeup as your premier number two pitch. But nope. And then you had sliders and sweepers that were just not well commanded. The four-seamer actually did pretty well, though. And I think we're going to get a better version of Bubich. So we keep holding on here. I think he's going to be a sturdy guy. But this was an unfortunate one. Dean Kramer should not be rostered. 5 earned runs in 5.2 innings. Ugh, gosh, the Orioles. I'm so sorry for you guys. Bailey Falter against the Dodgers. Obviously, this wasn't going to go well. 4.1 innings of 5 earned runs. He's not on the Rays yet. No. Max Meyer, geez. You're giving the team, man. you're into Seattle and you go 4 innings of 5 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks and 6 Ks. Oh gosh, the changeup and fastball command was just so bad. The slider couldn't get outside to right-handers, and it wasn't enough against lefties, and this was just not good. Four-seamer was 94.8, which is still higher, but I want to see him definitively over 95, right? And that wasn't the case. So, man, very frustrating. I want to mention that we give more of a pass to aces having bad starts, which is understandable because, like, oh, we know the track record. But when a more fringe guy like Meyer has a bad start or Bubic, I think we're more inclined to just say, well, oh, that's who they really are. And the other thing was a fluke. And I don't believe in that. So, yeah, every pitcher is allowed to have a bad start, right? I don't think that Max Meyer has been a fluke this year. This is very atypical for a guy who generally has very good command. Mitchell Parker, I am more inclined, but this was obviously a fluky start of 5 innings, 0 earned runs, 7 hits, 5 walks, and 0 Ks. So 0 strikeouts and 5 walks. How he made it 5 innings is insane to me. He's been on a fantastic run. He just could not get the curve and slider working at all. Fastball was just 7 over 54 CSW. Jeez, that's like a 10, 11% CSW. Really bad. So it's just one of those days. I don't really want to go after it in Cincinnati. I don't think that Parker has the overall polish that you want. It's not this bad, but I don't really think of him as a breakout candidate now. I have talked about him being one in the future, but that requires two things: of velocity being increased because he's low 90s on it, and also finding that rhythm with command of all his pitches, really. Being able to locate better instead of just kind of throwing splitters and four-seamers, being whatever, and then the slider and curve being around, you know. He has the stuff, I think, underlying, just needs to be higher velocity and then spotting the secondaries. We're not going to see that for a bit. Bradley Blaylock, not good, obviously. We move on. Kevin Gausman against the Yankees, 2.2 innings of 6 earned runs, 3 hits, 5 walks, 2 Ks. Yeah, the splitter was just so bad arm side, and the four-seamer is not the pitch that we need it to be. I mean, we saw those good starts from Gausman when the four-seamer was cooking, but, like, we didn't actually expect that four-seamer to really be the balloon to pull up his entire season, right? You need a whole lot more balloons. You know, you need this to be up, and you had, like, 5 of them with that four-seamer. But, yeah, Gausman is not that guy. He should be fine. He's like a Toby to me. Like, maybe he's a hipster. I don't know. He's always going to be like the 60s, 70s on the list for me, right? But I really feel like you shouldn't be investing too heavily into Kevin Gausman. You don't have the splitter being amazing. If you don't have that, then you can't. There's no third pitch, and the four-seamer should not be that double-digit whiff pitch. Eric Fede is a Toby and did not have a good Toby game. 5.2 innings of 700 runs, 10 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Oh, boy. He gets the Mets. And the sweeper is still good. It's just everything else. So hopefully he's better against the Mets. And Logan Allen should not be trusted. And he went against the Red Sox in Cleveland, and it was terrible. And you should not do that whatsoever. That is it for today. Thank you all so much for your support, as always. My name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIP be low and your strikeouts high.